Chapter 18. The snow that had been in yesterday's forecast still hadn't materialized the morning after my visit with Grant. At breakfast, I told Mom my plan to drive out to Granny Grace's acres and look around.
"I'll come with you, Darcy," she said.
"No, please don't. I'm going to walk a lot and maybe climb over a few fences and up a few hills. It would be rough going for you, Mom."
"I worry that something may happen to you. I guess a mother never gets over worrying about her children, especially a child who is as danger-prone as you, my dear daughter."
I grinned and ruffled her curls. "I'll be fine, Mom, I promise. I believe the Lord is watching over both of us."
"Yes, I'm sure He is, but I'm going to say an extra prayer for you this morning," Mom called as I went upstairs. "Couldn't hurt anything."
I pulled on a pair of my most comfortable blue jeans, a yellow sweatshirt topped with a button-down-the-front green and yellow plaid flannel shirt, and stepped into my brown hiking boots. That and a denim jacket would do fine for this day. Although the temperature was forecast to be in the low 40s, the sun was shining and there was little wind. I pulled my dark hair into a ponytail and noted a new gray hair. Time was surely marching on, and I was starting to feel the wear and tear of all this intrigue. Maybe Grant was right. Maybe I was a magnet for mysteries. And Mom was right, too, if the happenings had been accidental. I drew a line of rose-tinted lip gloss across my mouth, moved Jethro off my bed, and decided I was ready for a trip into the country. Mom had a bulging brown paper lunch sack waiting for me downstairs.
"Here's a sandwich and a piece of pie, Darcy, just in case you don't get back by noon."
I shook my head. As she said, mothering must be a lifelong process. Amy had said the same thing. "Thanks. Stay close today and be watchful," I said over my shoulder as I opened the front door. Mom snorted.
"Huh, look who's talking."
Sunlight shone through the windshield of my Escape. Dressed as I was, I didn't need the car's heater. The road to Granny Grace's acres led through some of the prettiest country in Ventress County. In every season but winter, it was striking with the tree-covered hillsides and the glimpses of the river in the distance. In winter, it was not as beautiful, but certainly spectacular enough. Gray, rocky bluffs shone through pines and the dark limbs of deciduous trees. Cardinals and blue jays flashed across the road, and high in the cloudless sky, a hawk circled.
"Is it possible that when we leave this earth, some of our emotions are left behind in places that are particularly dear?"
Granny loved her home here in the hills with Grandpa George, and when I returned to these hills, I felt a bit of the contentment and sheer joy that she must have felt. It was a peaceful feeling, as warm as the sunshine. With a jolt, I remembered a different emotion on the day that Cub discovered the package in the well. That day, Granny's old home place seemed lonely and even desolate. I decided to drive the back way to those acres and save visiting the place where our new house was going to be for a later time when Mom could view it with me. Now, I wanted to take a little used road that would necessitate my crawling over a fence and scrambling on rocks across a small creek. I had the feeling that if there were anything out here more desirable than the land itself, it would be along the bluffs or small hidden hollows of the back part of the woodland. Parking my car on the grassy edge of the dirt road, I scooted out and straddled a sagging wire fence. A little creek, old-timers called it Lee Creek, flowed lazily along the bottom of a knoll. The spring-fed stream was so shallow that it was easy to hop from one flat rock to the next to get across Lee Creek without getting wet. Clumps of watercress poked out of the water. Breaking off a piece, I savored the tangy, sharp taste. I paused under a tall pin oak and gazed at the forest of trees and azure sky, listened to the gurgle of the creek, and basked in the feeling of coming home. Tree, sky, creek, all seemed to soak into my very bones, a part of me, and I a part of my surroundings. The air had a crisp, damp smell to it, as old as time and as new as the morning. I filled my lungs with the fragrance of pure air. Leaves rustled in the pin oak, and an acorn dropped to the ground by my feet with a soft thud. Gazing up, I saw a squirrel glaring at me from a high limb. "Sorry to disturb your peace," I called. Getting out of town, soaking up the feel of the country, invigorated me. At that moment, I could hardly wait to make the move to our new house and have all this wilderness at our doorstep. Another sound broke the stillness of the morning, a noise that clashed with the rhythm of creek and leaves. I held my breath and listened. It sounded like metal striking flint rock. Maybe a pickaxe biting into the side of the cliff somewhere? The ringing of the pick seemed to come and go with the breeze and echoed off the high sides of the bluff. Ducking under tree limbs, I moved toward the sound. Thickets and tangles of briars grew under the trees, and the low-hanging limbs had cobwebs dangling from them. I brushed them aside, but the webs grew heavier and covered my face, to the extent that I could not see. I squatted down on the ground and wiped the sticky threads away with my gloves. The noise began again, closer this time, and I cautiously raised my head and strained my eyes to see its source. But the cobwebs hanging from the trees completely obscured my vision. What was this? I had never seen so many webs. Had I blundered into a colony of spiders? A gust of wind brushed past me, causing the webs to do a wild dance like white sheets hanging on a clothesline. The sound of the pickaxe stopped. Once again, I dropped to the ground with my back against a tree trunk. The spider webs did not reach this far down. It was only when I stood up that they covered my face. I was trying to think of an explanation for the webs. No spiders were visible, but my progress had been stopped by a mass of tangled, silky threads. I was leaning back against the tree, looking up at the webs when Grant found me. He knelt beside me.
"Darcy, are you hurt? What's wrong?"
I was so surprised to see him that it took several seconds for me to be able to speak. "What are you doing here?" I asked.
"I phoned your house. Miss Flora said you were coming out here. I saw your car parked on the road."
I took his hand, his warm, strong, reassuring hand. "I'm glad you're here, Grant. I heard a noise like someone digging into rocks, and when I tried to find out where it was coming from, I kept running into spider webs. They were so thick I couldn't see." Grant turned my head from side to side and brushed my shoulders.
"I don't see any webs on you now, and I don't see any on the trees."
"Well, they were there. Maybe I swiped all of them off the trees. I've never seen so many."
"You really shouldn't be out here alone, Darcy. If there is actually somebody digging on your land, that isn't good. A trespasser digging? What would he be hunting for?"
"That's what I would like to know, Grant. Come on, let's go look along the bluff." Grant's keen blue eyes searched my face, and he slowly shook his head.
"No, I don't think so. You can call me superstitious if you want, but those spider webs might have served a purpose. I'll come back another time with Jim, and we'll look along the creek and the bluff, but right now I think you should go back home."
I didn't argue. Perhaps he was right. I suddenly didn't care who was digging or what they were finding. It was enough that Grant was here with me. He slipped his arm around me as we sat with our backs against a cottonwood.
"I've always liked this area of Ventress County," he said. I nodded. "Darcy, it is too soon after Jake's death for you to look very far into the future, but do you think we might start where we left off more than 20 years ago?"
"No." He turned my face toward his.
"No. Why not?"
"We were kids then, Grant, with kids' emotions. Now we're all grown up, and I wouldn't want to go back to those early days for anything. I like where we are now, you and I, and I like these grown-up feelings."
"I love you, Darcy Tucker. Do you know that?"
"Campbell," I managed to mutter, just before his lips met mine.